It is important for us to spend time in studying the fitan, or the different fitnas that people before us have gone through, learn from their mistakes, learn their pitfalls, and try not to fall in the same pitfalls and have the same problems, deal with the same situations that they did. Hopefully, the ones who, of course, went astray. And hopefully, we can learn from our leaders. We can learn from the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Holy Prophet, and all of the Imams, in how to figure out our direction and which way to go in the context of these fitnas. And as a reminder, the reason why this is being said is it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of governing mankind. There is never a time, a people, a nation, or an individual that does not go through a fitna. We will all be going through fitan. We are currently going through fitnas. There are different ones. Some of them are more difficult, some of them are less difficult. They are there. Therefore, we need to learn from the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, learn from the mistakes of the people at that time, learn from her the right thing to do, and inshallah, make those right choices. We talked about how the truth is made to be unclear, how people are made to question what they know, feel uncertain about truths that are there, that are evident, that are clear. If a person is to look, let me remind us, I think these ahadith, when they come together, they shed light and it becomes more clear. There was a hadith, I've shared this a couple of times, I'll mention it again. I believe it's Imam al-Sadiq, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. He says, during the time of the occultation, there will be so many fitnas that people are not going to be able to see the truth. Things will be very unclear, uncertain, ambiguous. The companion who hears this begins to cry. The Imam asks him, why are you crying? He says, well, the way you describe it, finding the truth is so difficult. He felt he was in those circumstances, although he never experienced it. The Imam was describing our conditions back in those days. The Imam tells him, do you see the sun? It was midday or around midday. It wasn't early morning or later in the afternoon. He said, do you see the sun up in the sky? He says, yes. He says, our amr, our affair, our path, our direction is going to be more clear than that. How do we put this together? The truth is clear. It's not that it's not clear. A person whose vision is blurred is going to have trouble seeing that truth. Otherwise, it's there, it's evident. That's why the Imam gives the example of the sun. The sun is in the sky. It's your choice to look and see it, or to believe someone who says it's not daytime, it's floodlights that are on, it's, I don't know, some other form of light that is brightening your horizon or what you see. The sun is there though. What happens? How does it become blurry? How do people try to make it blurry? And what are the problems of the people that end up having that blurred vision? And as clear as the sun is in the sky, as easy as it is to spot in the sky, how is it that a person, a people, can have trouble seeing that truth? Recite salawat, please. Allah. We were having a conversation last night after the talk, and when we were having the dinner, this topic came up, and I want to use that hadith that we mentioned and another hadith that we have about the 12th Imam to see how this can be an issue. The hadith we just presented says, you see the sun in the sky? How clear is it? It says, our affair is going to be as clear as that. We have another hadith that says, the Imam during the occultation is like the sun behind the clouds. One day that cloud of ghaibah, the cloud of occultation will be removed and you'll have the sun. Right? You'll have the sun. The Imam is the sun. The Imam is the sun. He's visible. He can be seen. How is it that people don't see the Imam? During that period that we are discussing, the after the demise of the Holy Prophet, during this fitna that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra played her role, Amir al-Mu'mineen was there. Wasn't he the Imam? Wasn't that clear? Wasn't it clear that Ali was a different person? We ask all these questions. Wasn't all of that clear? Wasn't it clear that this is the daughter of the Prophet? Why do people have trouble? When the Imam comes, he's going to be the sun. You think, okay, he's currently not present in the sense that we can't see him, we can't hear him. He's there, we can't see him, we can't hear him. There will be a time that he comes. If you're thinking, well, right now things are blurry, we don't know, this guy says the revolution is something to support, the other guy says, no, the revolution is against the 12th Imam. Everybody says a different thing. It's not clear. The Imam comes, inshallah, at that time things are going to be clear. Well, Amir al-Mu'mineen was there. People weren't clear. Not only Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time, you have all of these ahadith. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra is there. Amir al-Mu'mineen is there. Imam Hassan is there. Imam Hussein is there. You got four ma'asums there, not one ma'asum. Four ma'asums there. If it's about the presence of a ma'asum, if he's there, then everything will be clear. Well, four of them were there, and things weren't clear. Recite a salawat, please. This is an important wake-up call for people who simplify or oversimplify the coming of the Imam, and they want to leave everything to that time. When that happens, everything will be resolved, problems will be resolved. There will be clarity, we'll know for sure what's right and what's wrong. Eventually, yes. But at the moment that you may need to make that decision, no, not necessarily. That's not how things work. As we said, it's a sunnah of Allah to test people through these tests. If it was going to be simplified like that, as soon as the Imam would come, there would be no jihad, no struggle. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sunnah, one of the sunnah of Allah, is to test people through these ways. How is it that an Imam can be present? An Imam who is a real ayah of Allah, an Imam who has ilmul ghayb, an Imam who has miracles, an Imam who has all the things that we have heard descriptions of. He's there. He says the truth. He says the right thing. But we have trouble seeing it. How is that possible? What are the methods used? What are the techniques used by the shayateen to try to make that unclear to people. We talked about one of those last night. Another one of the techniques used to cause people to doubt the certainty they have. Recite a salawat, please. You think you have certainty about whatever it is. In this case, we're Ithna Ashari Shias. We believe in 12 Imams. We believe the 12th Imam was born at a certain time. We believe he will be returning, and so on and so forth. There are certain things we have certainty about. You'll start doubting those things. Ghadir was a fact. It happened around 2 months before the demise of the Holy Prophet, before this fitna began. All those people were certain it happened. Their certainty turned into doubt. What are some of the ways that this happens? Something that's absolutely clear to you, you start questioning it at the wrong time. Recite another salawat, please. There are many techniques that are used. You can look at the media, how some of those techniques, the form and the superficial aspect of that changes form. In essence, it's the same thing. There are certain vulnerabilities that we have, that different techniques are used to tap into those areas that we are vulnerable in. If we strengthen ourselves from within, these techniques, whatever they may be, are not going to work on us. It's important, or the better thing to do, instead of trying to identify all the different techniques that are used, because they may pull something out of the hat that you've never seen before. It's another style of it, and you get confused. You're familiar with 99 different techniques that are used. They use 100th one for the first time. Somebody, some new shaitan came up with 100th technique. You never heard of that one. There's certain vulnerabilities we have. There's certain weaknesses that we have. If we figure out what those weaknesses are, then whatever technique is used is not important, because we're not vulnerable. One of the areas of vulnerability, or us being vulnerable, is the very problem of doubt. The very problem of doubt. The Quran calls this الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَض. There is a marad, there is an illness, vulnerability. What is that? Allama Tabatabai explains, and it makes sense. It says it's doubt. Doubt. The problem of doubt. What is the problem of doubt? Obviously, we're talking about we said it's about questioning or having doubts regarding things that you're certain of, you believe in. So it seems like we were previously certain, we were sure of something. Then there's doubt. But now we're saying there's a problem of doubt. How does this work? الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَض. The problem, this problem of doubt that we're mentioning, the problem with it is that it's hard to identify. We think we don't have it. We think we don't have it. We think something is crystal clear for us. We are certain of it. The people who are described as الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَض, in, for example, in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's one instance where he mentions them. These are people that have left their families, left their hometowns, left their belongings behind, and decided to join the Prophet. They have left their traditions, their culture. They've left all of that. That's a lot of sacrifice. They must have felt so certain about the truth of the Prophet for them to have done that. It seems so. It seems like there is a certainty. It seems like there is clarity because it made them make those choices, which are difficult choices. You got to be pretty certain about something in order for you to make those choices, those sacrifices. If you're not sure he's telling the truth, if you're not sure that he's a messenger of God, if you're not sure this is from God himself, why would you cause so much trouble for yourself? Leave your family, your parents, your siblings, hear all the nonsense they say against you. You must be certain that it's right for you to sacrifice all those relationships, all that comfort, in order to join the Prophet. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. The problem with it is that it's difficult for the person to identify. You think you believe. You think you're certain of it. The people after the demise of the Prophet, they saw Ghadir. They heard the Prophet say what he had said. They even pledged allegiance to Amir al-Mu'mineen. All of that is mentioned in books of history. We know this actually happened. That's what makes it so difficult to process why in the world then a little over 2 months later, it seems like everybody forgot. They heard all of that. They heard the Prophet say it with all the emphasis that he could mention it with. They said they believed in the Prophet. He is Rasulullah. Whatever he says, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. Whatever he says is wahy. Whatever he says is revelation. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said what he said from Allah. He said, you need to follow Amir al-Mu'mineen. Didn't they believe in that? Recite salawat, please. That's the issue with the problem of doubt. The person themselves does not recognize that they have this problem. If we don't know we have this problem, then how can we deal with it? If we are not aware of our own weakness, then how can we identify it and deal with that problem? I think if we identify what matter it is that this, we've talked about doubt and certainty. Doubt, certainty. But doubt about what? Certainty about what? In regards to what? In regards to what happened in Ghadir? In regards to what they heard the Prophet say? In regards to what exactly? We haven't seen the 12th Imam. None of us have. We don't know what he looks like. So anyone can get up and claim that they're the 12th Imam. How is certainty or doubt going to help us with identifying this claim to be true or false? Is it looking to ulama and marajib? What if they're having different views? In regards to the revolution, we've heard ulama have different views, don't they? When the imam comes, what if some of the marajib, God forbid, say, no, that's not the imam. We're not convinced this is the imam. And then others say that he is. Is that a way of... Do we have certainty about how he looks, what he sounds like, what he's going to say? Everybody's read books about what the imam is going to say. So if somebody goes exactly on different accounts, one account that is mentioned frequently, the imam will be in Masjid al-Haram and he will announce to the world, leaning against the Kaaba. One of the accounts says it this way. Oh, okay, somebody can go and lean against the Kaaba and say, Ana al-Mahdi. You're certain the person is going to say this. How are you going to identify? What certainty do you have? You have certainty that somebody's going to say that. How are you going to know this is the imam? What doubt are we talking about? What certainty are we talking about? Some people claim that, I think we mentioned this example last night, some people claim that prophets don't leave behind inheritance. That was a claim. The lady Fatima al-Zahra quoted a verse of the Quran. They know the Quran is from Allah. The Quran explicitly says that a prophet inherited from his father, and that father was also a prophet. So this idea that prophets don't leave behind inheritance is baloney. You have certainty about the Quran. It's there, right? What doubt and certainty are we talking about here? The doubt and certainty that the Quran mentions, that inner vulnerability that if we have, we will be vulnerable and we can be confused and we are going to go astray in these types of conditions. Is this certainty or doubt in iman, in faith, in Allah, in the path? There's different ways of wording it. It's not about this statement made here by this official or the other official, this scholar or the other scholar, this layperson or the other, this news agency or the other. It's about iman billah, our iman. Our iman. The Quran doesn't say doubt. It says, الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ. The opposite of الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ in the verses that follows in Surah Al-Ahzab says, لَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. When the mu'minun see the ahzab. The opposite of الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ amongst the believers, of course. Those who are with the Prophet, those who are with the Ahlul Bayt, those who identify as Muslims, those who identify as Shia. There are those of us who are الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ, God forbid, and there are those of us who are not. Who are? What's the title given to those who don't have this problem? المؤمنون. Ones who have real iman. It's having certainty or doubt regarding iman. This isn't iman about this particular thing. It's not about iman in, let's say, iman based on some theological discussion that some people are very keen to have, and they think that's going to solve the problem. We want to have, there's a problem in the community, people say, problem in the community, youngsters or elders or whatever, different groups of people have trouble with their iman. How do we deal with that? Let's have theological classes. Classes on theology. Let's have classes on philosophy. Let's see what the philosophers have said. Let's have a rational discussion. You can have all the rational discussions you want. You can have all the theological discussions you want. Know it inside out. Some of those who joined the enemies of Amir al-Mu'mineen in Nahrawan, the Khawarij, they had the Quran memorized. All the theological discussions that are there, they had it. There were people during the time of Imam al-Sadiq, salamullahi alayh, that participated in all these philosophical, rational discussions, and yet they were on the other side. It's not about that. In other words, the issue of iman is not a rational question. There are rational proofs. There's plenty of them. The Quran has the clearest ones about every element of faith, whether it's about God's existence or denying any other deity, Tawheed, about divine justice in regards to Ma'ad and resurrection, in regards to prophethood, revelation, the Quran, Imamah, the different Imams, and so on and so forth. Every little theological discussion, there are rational arguments there. There are reasons. As we said, though, there's certain things that don't even need reason. When the sun is up in the sky, you don't need some philosophical discussion to prove to you that the sun is up there. Just look up there, you see it. But in the analogy that the Imam mentions, in that same condition that the sun is up in the sky and you can see it, people are confused. The problem is not something that will be resolved with that. The problem of this vulnerability, this problem of doubt, is not about these rational arguments. There are those who have never been in those rational arguments and discussions. And to them, the truth is crystal clear. Crystal clear. It's like looking and seeing. Some people are discussing philosophically and rationally, is this sun up in the sky or not? And this guy's like, look, I'm seeing it. What are you talking about? And he is seeing it. It is possible to see. Some of us even look up. We got blurred vision. That's the thing. That's the inner part. We have blurred vision. The eyes of the heart cannot see properly. Recite a salawat, please. How do we identify this problem, or how do we resolve it if it's so difficult for us to identify? We can't see this problem. Fitna comes, and how can we give ourselves that certainty? How can we obtain that certainty? That no matter what technique is used to confuse a person is crystal clear, they're calm, they have their heart is just in this peaceful state of clarity. Again, that I think that's the best example I can use. Just, I'm looking at this guy. You guys can say whatever you want. I'm seeing it. There are ways. There are ways. The Quran tells us of ways. How we can strengthen ourselves. How we can clear our vision. But as Amir al-Mu'mineen says in that hadith, هُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَذَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ وَنَجَى الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَىٰ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَىٰ The time of fitna is not when you can purify or you can clarify or get clear vision. That's the moment that if you have not obtained clear vision prior to that moment, that will be a point where you're going to be joining the other side. The least is you're not going to make the leap. Because if fitna, as dangerous and as difficult we say it is, it's great as well. For who? For those who make it. For those who make it well, نَجَى الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَىٰ They are able to make this very... That's why we called it a leap. It's a spiritual progress that they make that outside of the context of fitna, it's not possible. It's a beautiful scene as well. It's a great thing. It's an opportunity. Every fitna is an opportunity for a person to make that leap. To be able to grow spiritually in degrees, in ways to extent that outside of the context of fitna, it's not possible. But when the fitna happens, if we have not prepared for it, if we have not gotten clear vision to become of those that make that leap, we're going to end up on the other side. And the least, as we said, is even if we don't become dwellers of hell because of that, at least we're not going to make that leap. The imam and the ones close to him will make that progress. They will move forward. And we will just not be with them. If anything, maybe later on, from a distance, we'll join them. How do we do this? What are the techniques? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has a number of verses that tell us. And it's there. Anyone can pick it up and read it. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man yu'min billah yahdi qalbah." If you have iman billah, if you believe in Allah, Allah will guide your heart. It's a very simple formula. You want to see clearly, that's guidance, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man yu'min billah yahdi qalbah." Another verse of the Quran, الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Whoever strives on our path, الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, they're struggling for us, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. There's a lot of emphasis here. Most definitely, we will guide them. You're trying to figure out, is this right or is it wrong? God says, الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We'll show him this is right. It's like looking at the sun. This guy is seeing it. Who can show that person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can make, that's why the first verse, يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ, the heart will see. There's different verses. Another verse, I think I've mentioned this verse before a number of times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. If I got all the wording correctly, Surah Ma'idah. This light, the Quran that's been revealed to the Prophet, this book of Allah, يَهْدِي بِهِ, with the Qur'an, Allah guides مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ, whoever is seeking God's pleasure. سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ, God will show سَبِيل. We mentioned this a couple times as well. I'll mention it again. سَبِيل is your personal conditions. In your very particular conditions that you're dealing with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Qur'an, will show you exactly what you need to be doing. If there's confusion about this being right or wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you and show you this is the right thing and the other is the wrong thing. يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهِ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ. Say the salawat, please. Another verse that is related to the subject, and it tells us something perhaps a little different. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He is the one, وَالَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ, he sends his salat, which is great blessings, on you, and he has his angels send their salat on you, What for? What's this great blessing? What is it going to do? لِيُخْرِجَكُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to remove you from darkness into light. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, and he has been merciful, rahim, very merciful to mu'mineen, the believers. Recite the salawat, please. So how does this work? How do we get this? The last verse really gives us something that should make us think. God says, "Huwa alladhi," he's the one that sends this blessing. It comes from him. If you look, in fact, in all the verses that we mention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I will guide. I will guide." Guidance comes from whom? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes from Him to us, not from us to Him. It's not like we have this guidance already on our own and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to us. What are the things that He tells us we can do in order to receive that? He tells us the formula, what a person has to do, or what types of things, who are the types of people that receive this, and who are the types of people that don't receive this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. People who are ظَالِمِينَ, Allah does not guide them. So let's just use, there's a lot of verses I quoted, and for those who are following up, they want to think on their own and do their own research. If you just follow some of those verses, you'll get plenty of food for thought, think about and ponder and work things out for yourself. And I think that's the best thing to do. A couple of thoughts that come to mind tonight that I would like to share in regards to this. These two or three verses, I'll just select one or two of them. The ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will not guide, and the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will guide. The words we had in the case of those that Allah says He will guide, there are two major words. One is al-mu'minun, iman. The second word that was used was الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, jihad, struggling in the way of Allah. That's one set of words on this side, those who will be guided. On the other side, we mentioned two. One is الفاسقين, fisq. And the verse we quoted says الظالمين, and they're very similar in meaning. Those who are transgressors, aggressors. Aggression and transgression is a dhulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will not guide these people, we will guide those people. This is what gives you clear vision, and that's what gives you blurred vision. You won't see if you're dhulmeen, if you're fasiqeen. You will see if you're mu'mineen and if you're mujahidun fi sabilillah. This is the formula that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Fisq, I'll just define these, and inshallah we'll remember the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Fisq is when a person knows something is wrong, they do it. This is fisq. If a person doesn't know something is wrong, they do it out of, they just didn't know. They never received any information, any type of guidance. That's not an issue. There are things that we know are wrong. if we do them, not once, if you do it once and then one repents and tries never to do that again, conditions come again, they don't make the same mistake. That's not fisq. Fisq is when a person does it and then does it again, they just constantly do it. This is called fisq. Dhulm has a very similar meaning. When you transgress, there are certain boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out for you. He says, these things are what you should do, these things are what you should not do. The ones you know of, you're made aware of. If you cross those red lines, that's called dhulm. That's dhulm. Anyone who does dhulm, anyone who is a transgressor, they will have blurred vision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I won't guide you. In Allah la yahdi. In a sense, it's like this. Like, look, I showed you. The reason why you know certain things are wrong is because God showed you. I showed you these are wrong. You didn't care. You went ahead and crossed those boundaries. I won't show you next time. I won't give you further guidance. And a mu'min, on the other side, the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبًا. Iman, read the descriptions of al-mu'minun in the Quran. There's a chapter on al-mu'minun. Iman isn't simply saying, I believe in Allah, saying, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No. The Quran describes who the mu'minun are. And basically, if you read those verses, you will see it means, okay, if you believe that God is your Lord, then you listen to what He has to say. People who listen, whatever comes your way, whatever you know is right, you do it. Whatever you know is wrong, you go against it. Even if it's difficult. That's why the other term is used. أَلَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. It's going to be difficult. God is going to make doing what He says difficult. It's not going to be easy. Never in the Quran did God say that there will be no difficulties. In fact, He said, well, there will be difficulties. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We will definitely test you with loss of property, of lives, of belongings, of different things. And these are things that, it's not like you're walking and then suddenly you just lose them. No, because you made the right choice, you will get certain hardships that come your way. Or certain times when you want to do the right thing, you know if you do that, there's certain hardships that will come with that. If I say this, I'm going to face the consequences. I know God wants me to say this, but if I do, I'll feel awkward. People will look at me. People will say things against me. I'll lose my job. I'll lose this. I'll lose that. I know it. I know exactly what God says. If I do it, however, I know there are consequences. Okay, if you tell yourself, well, God, Charlie, you understand. I have to do this. I got to keep my job. I got to keep my family going. You know, I can't be homeless. We think that job of ours is what gets us sustenance. You know, if you know something is right, do it. You know something is wrong, don't do it. Very simple. Hard to do, simple. Conceptually, it's very simple. Very simple. It's not very complicated. A person who does this, God says, I will show you more. I showed you these are the things that you need to avoid. He said, okay, one, two, three. Did all of them. So here you go. Here's the next one. Here's the next one. Here's the next one. Fits now, this person can see it clear. He's only 16 years old. Got 40, 50 year old people, studied the Hawza, studied books, studied the Quran, give classes on tafsir of the Quran. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. 16 year old doesn't even have a juz of the Quran memorized. It's clear to them. Why? Because whatever came to them, they did it. This person knows all this extra stuff, but did they go by it? Did we go by it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us so much clarity. They used to come to Atla Bahjat. As, can you give us some dhikr, something? Some funny responses that he would sometimes give. I don't want to talk about the funny ones right now. But there's one pretty straightforward. He says, look, go and act on the things you already know, then come. There's certain things you know. You aren't going by them. And that is the case for most of us. We have weaknesses. Things, we got to work on that. We have to work on that weakness. The only way to have that iman where we can see clearly these more difficult scenes, these more difficult fitnas, these more difficult tests of Allah, is that with the simple tests that are in our daily lives, that we're supposed to do certain things, avoid certain other things, do what you know, what's clear to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do those, God will show you more, give you more clarity. And when everybody's confused, you'll see that you don't have any doubt. It's clear. This is haq, that's batil, very clear to you. And God forbid, if we don't do that, and let me mention this last point regarding that. It's not like, okay, a fasiq, I'm not a fasiq. I'm not accusing anyone of fisq, and I hope I'm not a fasiq. But see, the thing is, these concepts are gradational. There's different levels of each. There's different levels of iman. There's different levels of fisq. There's different levels of idala, justice, and there's different levels of dhulm. The Prophet of Allah, a Prophet of Allah, Yunus, he says, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu minal dhalimeen. He says, I'm a dhalim. But the dhulm that he's talking about, he does have it, otherwise he wouldn't have said it. There is, inni kuntu minal dhalimeen. That is not the type of dhulm for someone who is committing like all these blatant sins, lying, cheating, fornicating, al-ayadu billah, drinking, all these wrong things. It's not those things. He's way up there with his iman. But there's a higher level of iman that he doesn't have. He has a dhulm. He had to admit to it and repent, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Inshallah, we're not fasiq or fusaq on that level that we're committing these open sins. But the thing is, remember when we discussed yesterday, the fitna occurred in a community where these people are people who have made a lot of sacrifices, yet for them it was not clear. They had done a lot of good things. Things that they knew were right, they had done. But they hadn't done all of them. They hadn't done all of them. We've got to move in that direction, brothers and sisters. We have to move in a direction that our iman increases. Whatever we know, we do it. Whatever we know to be right, we do it. Whatever we know to be wrong, we avoid it. Anytime we slip quickly, and without wasting any time, even a split second, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and telling Allah, I will never commit this again. Trying our best, keep going at that. That's how that iman will increase. The level of iman will go higher. Therefore, the clarity will become more and more and more and more. That guidance that comes from Allah is gradational. مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Whatever level of iman you have that He's brought you so far, it's His guidance. He's giving you this much. All right. Now, if you listen to him, he will give you more and give you more and more clarity. Inshallah, we come to a point where when these difficult tests come, we will be of those who will have utmost clarity on what the Imam wants, and we are with him, inshallah. Sallallahu alayki ya binta Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayki ya mumtahanatum tahanakillah الذي خلقك قبل أن يخلقك فوجدك لما امتحنك صابرا صلى الله عليك يا بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا قرة عين الرسول صلى الله عليك يا أيتها المظلومة الشهيدة المغصوبة حقها المكسورة ضلعها May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Beloved Lady Fatima al-Zahra, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved oppressed lady, sallallahu alayhi. روحي فداك. I don't know how it would have felt to have been there. Watch what happened. يا فاطمة الزهراء. I don't know, I hope some of what has been said is not true. How is it possible, you know, when someone's father passes away, people try to respect that individual more. You're more concerned for them. You know, they've lost a loved one. What happens if that person, that father, is very dear to the entire community? The entire community would be respecting, especially the family. Ya Fatima al-Zahra, is it really true that when you were walking back from the masjid with Imam al-Mujtaba, a 6 or 7 year old, 8 or 9 year old child, walking towards a home, someone came to you asking for the piece of paper given to you by the Khalifa. When you refused to give, this man laid a hand on you. No one did anything. Ya Fatima to Zahra, I don't know how he did this. How hard can you hit a person in their face that they will have trouble seeing after that? They say on the way to the masjid, the lady Fatima to Zahra was holding Imam al-Mujtaba's hand, taking him in the direction she wanted. From that point onwards, it's Imam al-Mujtaba who takes his mom home. People of Medina, how soon you forgot all the blessings that came to you through the Prophet. How could you watch them build a fire behind the door of the daughter of the Prophet? Were you not there? Did you not see? This is the person that the Prophet would bend down and kiss her hand. Ya Allah, ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin, wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu, ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Allahumma inna nas'aluka wa nad'uuk, bismika al-azim al-a'zam, al-zahra'i wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha, السر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك والله send the return of our imam, enable us to be his true and close companions. يا الله, forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. Grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. Relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Ali, Allahumma qara al-Fatiha.